If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I'm taking a lot of vitamins because the GOP health care plan passes. That's my only health care. So I've been taking a lot of vitamins, working out more, and hoping I don't get sick.
Yeah. You tweeted that GOP death to poor people plan is getting closer to passing the House. People will die if this becomes law. It is their hurry up and die plan.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Yes.
There was a study in Massachusetts
State. Just die.
There really was a study in Massachusetts State that looked at in 2018, if there was no Obamacare, 17,000 people could have died. Mm-hmm. And by 2026, that the number can go up to 29,000 a year if Trump care is enacted. Yep. People will die. It's not a joke. This is not politics. This is real life for people. I've talked to many people on my radio show, I'm sure you have as well, shared stories about what life was like before the ACA. They had a pre-existing condition, no coverage for them, or even their family. So this is something that should be a wake-up call. It's not just about pre-existing conditions. You know, that original plan that we all talked about, 24 million people losing coverage, that's still in this. Like, there's no new CBO report. And that's
they're rushing this through once again, Dean, with no CBO report. We're going to talk to Jackie Schechner about it in a bit, but it's insane. Remember the whole, they don't even know what's in it. They don't know what's in it. They haven't read it. There's no CBO. It's just about getting a win for Cittadini. And, the only say, hopefully this won't get through the Senate, but, I mean, it really is terrifying, Dean. You're right. I've never had so many people calling my show crying. Because, look at Jimmy Kimmel, and look at how they're treating him in the right-wing Twitterverse and among conservatives, right?
Well, for some on the right, there's just no compassion or empathy whatsoever for anyone but themselves. And for those on the left, what defines progressives, I think, is compassion, empathy, caring. To me, this is one of the few issues that transcends politics. Like, we can be political about regulations and taxes and that kind of stuff. This is real life. This is much different. And, every analysis from AARP, there's a reason they're against it, the AMA is against it, American Cancer Society is against it. They all see it for what it is. It's a horrible plan. It's not partisan. We're saying the last time they did a polling on the GOP plan, only 17% of Americans supported it. And now they made the plan worse. They had to move it to the right to get the Freedom Caucus
right.
And you don't even know how bad the plan is now because it hasn't been scored. It's horrific.
You wrote a piece, Jimmy Kimmel was right on health care. I mean, it is amazing that, you're watching this as a human, not even thinking this is partisan. It's a really touching story from a father. And, but the thing he said about it shouldn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, it does. This issue couldn't be starker. It's Democrats that gave you health care. It's Republicans that are trying to take it away. I mean, you wrote, why would we ever as a nation want to go back to that time? What's Jimmy Kimmel said?
Something terrific.
A January Pew poll, you said, found Americans want our government to guarantee more health coverage, not less. 60% of the Americans say the government should be responsible for ensuring health care coverage for all Americans. That includes 52% of Republican families who earn $30,000 a year or less. I mean, it is amazing what they've done to Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, from Joe Walsh on down, right?
Some of them are just scum. I mean, let's be honest. Some of the guys on the right are just irredeemable people. They're horrific people. The average one is not. Because right there, you see in this poll that over 50% of Republicans who are low-income earners want a Medicare for All plan. We should not be talking about going backwards, but going forward. We should be talking about Medicare for All, or at least a public option where the federal government is providing an insurance option which is cheaper and accessible for everyone.
Yeah.
At the very least, I think we should be going Medicare for All. We should be going down. Medicare should be eligible at 55. That should be the next step, and then go all the way down. We are the only industrialized nation of all of them that does not provide it. Zero.
Yep.
We are the only one. Why are we not good enough in the United States of America? Why is every other country good enough to provide this kind of measure of care from the cradle to the grave? We deserve this. We're Americans. We're told that we're the greatest nation in the world. Now let's start acting like it and provide coverage for everyone, from the most vulnerable to even the wealthy.
And it is amazing. Some of the comments you see from right-wingers like, oh, shut up, Jimmy Kimmel, you're a rich celebrity. That was exactly his point.
Right.
Not everyone's a rich celebrity that can afford the best pediatric, cardiac surgeon at Cedars-Sinai. That was his whole point of sharing this story, right?
Absolutely. I was on CNN last night with Matt Lewis, who's a moderate conservative. He's not like a Trumper. But he was echoing and parroting these same points. Jimmy Kimmel's wealthy. I'm like, what does that matter? This is not relevant to the conversation. He was talking about caring for others, which on the right, they can't get that.
Yep.
They can only care about themselves.
Let's...
So that's part. And by the way, what Jimmy Kimmel said, I used to be a lawyer, as I bring up every time I can. I used to be a lawyer.
You're currently a Muslim, formerly a lawyer.
I'm still a Muslim, formerly a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Kimmel made the point that children born with birth defects were often deemed pre-existing conditions. There was no coverage. Well, I looked it up, and he's 100% right. I cited my CNN article. So you had children who were not even born, and then they're born with a medical condition, and the health insurance company would deny it, saying that's pre-existing, even though the baby didn't even exist until they were born with a heart condition, with bone issues. And what happens is, so if you have a family plan, you have a plan, you're like, oh, my kids are going to be covered. They're born with a traumatic condition, and your carrier goes, nope, sorry, they were born with it. We're not covering it. They could do that before the ACA. Just so it's clear for everyone, this affects everyone. God forbid your child is born with some condition.
We have all
the Trump care, they can not cover it.
We have all the snark on our side. A lot of people on Twitter are like, stupid Jimmy Kimmel's baby and his bad life choices.
Oh, that's funny. That's right. We do have humor. Like, they don't have humor. They don't get it.
Thank you.
They went after Colbert.
I just wanted to switch to the Colbert story because you wrote another great piece on that. I thought, isn't it amazing how two comedians are the targets, right? Like, they're doing all the damage. And you wrote a great piece. No Trumpsters. One Colbert joke is not an O'Reilly equivalent. First of all, as you point out, O'Reilly got fired for sexually harassing women. Not for one thing he said, right?
Absolutely. And that's why, because in my article, I said all these tweets from people on the right who were equating it with Bill O'Reilly, including Brett Hume from Fox News anchor, who said, let's see if CBS does anything now to him in bringing up the O'Reilly thing.
Right.
Despite the fact Brett Hume never criticized O'Reilly publicly at all for sexually harassing women. When his coworker was over there, which he probably knew about, didn't say a thing. Now he's going after a comedian. And the ones on the right who want him fired for this joke, while they support Trump for demonizing women, Muslims, Latinos, disabled, shaming victims of sexual assault.
And the other thing is, please spare me from trying to, like, you care about gay people when he's about to sign this order today. It's like, oh, really? Oh, that was homophobic. Oh. I mean, honestly. By the way, that you can take that and go, that's why that's the worst thing you could say, because you were implying that,
right.
Look, there were Vladimir Putin's. That's why it's like, oh, that's too much. As you say, the president has said a number of crude, horrible, mean things about so many people. You say Trump supporters more upset with Stephen Colbert's joke about Trump than Trump demonizing Latinos, Muslims, sexually assaulting women. Give me a break, right?
Oh, those poor snowflakes. They want political correct jokes about the monster. Nuh-uh. No more. Nothing is off limits with Donald Trump. And if you don't like it, go hide in your safe space at the Klan rallies, because we're going to make fun of Trump, and nothing is off limits. And I'm glad Colbert came on last night and didn't apologize. Said that the words could have been a little different, but he said we're moving on, and that, you know, and there were some people on the left who thought it was homophobic. They have every right to complain, and some did. That's how you counter free speech you don't like, with more speech. No one on the left said, fire Colbert. On the right, if you really saw the tweets, they were calling him anti-American because he was attacking Trump. There's something else going on that's much more sinister. Trump is convincing these people on the right, his supporters, not to embrace the First Amendment and free speech, and that's much more troubling.
Well, right. I mean, it's about silencing his critics, as you write. And by the way, here's what it really is. You said one right winger's tweet. We have to do to Colbert what the left did to O'Reilly. It's a eye for an eye, right? And it's like, as you write, there's just no equivalence.
There's no equivalence whatsoever. And it's stunning that they see it like that. And it says something about the right wing, and these are mostly men, who think that a joke about a guy they love, Trump, is the equivalent of a man sexually harassing women for years,
resulting
in a cover-up and paying $13 million, if not more, to the women as hush money because of what he had done to them. To them, that's the same. That's why they laugh and they mock people who talk about being raped or sexual assault and sexual assault on campus. It's all a big joke to them. They just don't care. I mean, I'm really getting the sense the biggest dividing line is we're about compassion and caring, and they're about callous and truly survival of the fittest, and they don't care about anyone but themselves.
But, Dean, you allude to, you know, as you've said, I mean, both in your tweets and in this piece, something a little more chilling. Deep down, we know Trump wants to silence his critics when he called for SNL to be canceled for mocking him. We learned that just this week his chief of staff said they've discussed changing the libel laws to make it easier to silence, to sue media, you know, critics that are critical of Trump. You say clearly Trump's goal, consistent with the dictator he truly aspires to be, is to silence his critic. Now I fear an increasing number of Trump's fans are infected with Trump's views that those who criticize Trump should be silenced.
Heil Trumpf.
Yeah, and then you, I mean, but your tweet alludes to that, too. He called for a government shutdown and to end the 60-vote filibuster rule in the Senate. Next, expect him to call for the president to have more powers. We're watching Trump follow dictator handbook in front of our eyes. Mm-hmm. He now called for rules of the Senate to change so he can have more power.
Absolutely.
No wonder he, you know, loves these strongmen so much, right?
He loves them because they're doing what he would want to do, especially Turkey. I mean, in Turkey, Erdogan is using democracy to undermine democracy. This is what Trump loves. The only thing is that, thankfully, the guys in Congress, good or bad, the men and women in Congress tend to be more loyal to their institution that he understands, and they have a sense of protecting the institution. So I'm hopeful. But if he's able to get rid of some of them in 2018 and the midterms don't turn out the way we want, instead it elects a lot of Trumpsters who are more loyal to Donald Trump than America, we should be concerned.
Dean, before you go, I know you have a heart out right now, but I have to say the good news for you as a part Palestinian, as he said, this is not as difficult as people thought, this whole Mideast peace thing. He's going to work the art of the deal. Everything's going to be all good.
The art of the deal!
Congratulations on your new homeland.
He said two states, one state. Like, everyone, you get your own state under Trump land.
You get a state. You get a state.
Palestinians really get their own state. And a condo and a casino. It's going to be great.
It's going to be very easy. All right.
Love you. Love you.
I love you guys.
Bye-bye. See you. Bye. Yes. He's a hard out because he's very, very busy and important.
He is.
Listen to his fantastic show on Sirius XM, Channel 121, correct? Okay.